Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
Live from the path, Mark Essence from the Pathway Studios here at Johnston proper. It's good to have you here tonight,
proper Johnston.
If you're really here, yeah. I suppose if you're not here, I'm not glad for you.
Talking to the wind, Ben.
what's the Ecclesiastes? It's all wind.
Wind, verily.
Meaningless.
Wind.
But isn't the Holy Spirit represented by wind in the New Testament?
Dan.
So something to think about. Put the thought on it, Dan.
Maybe Solomon's right. It's all the Holy Spirit. Wind.
I've been reading that thing wrong for years.
What a mistake.
Hey, you're listening live from the path. Here's what we got going on tonight. We're walking through our 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com. We're really plowing through it. We're on proof number 46.
Yeah.
And basically, he set up a website, this guy, unnamed fella, and he's got 50 proofs that he says shows that God is indeed imaginary. We're walking through them each week. As much as I don't think it's for this guy, these are legitimate barriers for people. There's certain things here, and they say, look, I can't buy into a God because of X, because of Y, because of Z. And we should be able to provide a defense of the hope that we have. And so we're just walking through those and trying to deal with those in a manner we would if someone were to approach you on the street and say, look, here's the brass tacks of the thing. I can't go for God because of this.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're on proof number 46. This is Ponder Pascal's Wager. We introed that last week, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more and see if we can answer it.
Is he going to talk about who Pascal is? I don't know who that is.
It's that little – have you guys seen the movie, the Rapunzel movie? The kids' Rapunzel movie?
What happens to you? What happens to you throughout the week, Ben?
He's not the painter?
It's the name of the lizard. Pascal is the name of the little lizard with the tongue.
This is Rango? Not-
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Rango, yeah.
No, it's the chameleon.
You watch girly movies.
What's the name of the Rapunzel movie?
Just recently, in the last couple of 3 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know that it's important.
She's got a chameleon that's named Pascal.
All right.
Okay. Or, yeah.
I didn't know he had such a gambling problem. Disney's really taking us downhill, you know?
Anywho. we're gonna walk through that. We're going to do a round of secular versus Solomon. This is where I give you a proverb. Of the world, or proverb, and you tell me whether it's a secular proverb or whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom.
I still have yet to read Proverbs in the ESV. I keep thinking I'm going to go home and read Proverbs in the ESV so I can get caught up.
Still hasn't happened.
They threw me off.
Nope.
Someday, Pastor Dan will still be If only.
If only I could find a Bible.
Incidentally, if you do guess secular, you have to provide a country of origin or people group.
Yeah.
Depending.
Like, where did it come from? If it's not biblical wisdom, where did it originate?
And is it any good? Maybe it stinks.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should be following it because it ties to the Bible somewhere.
Exactly.
We'll see how it goes.
You guys on the chat, you can play along with that. Try to keep up, though. I can't have you answering the question three things behind.
Yeah.
It really throws off the game. Thirdly, we're going to do some advice on Dear Life and the Path. And I do have a question that I'd like to ponder. And the question is like, how do you – let's say you have a member of your family who's a non-Jesus person, right? The question is how often do you go back? How often do you go back and try to bring that subject up again?
You know, I was just praying on that in the car on the way here.
That could be touchy.
It is tough. And so, I mean, it's probably a broader witnessing question. But I mean, there is something specific about a family.
It's hard for your life to preach the gospel to somebody if they refuse to hang out with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and family's goofy. I remember going to a family reunion with my wife's side of the family, and this dude was walking around calling every one of us, you know, sinners, we're all going to hell. I'm like...
He thought this was the time at the family reunion?
Yeah, he thought that was the time, and no one liked him. And Cheryl and I were like, well, I don't know. I think we're pretty good, you know? We know
everything's okay here, I guess.
What's the name of your church? You know, blah, blah. Nope.
Wow. All right. And also, we have a very special guest in studio today, Brian Leach, with Servers Legend, all-around handsome and Jesus-loving man, is in the studio with us. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
I feel like you're upticking the quality of the show behind my back. It was three ugly dudes not till last week.
Excuse me, Mike. Do you run Servers Legend?
No, I don't.
I thought. Yeah. So anyway, Brian's just going to be hanging out with us, participating in the day-to-day events, and maybe talking a little bit about what's going on in his life. So,
Sweet. So
there it is.
Thanks for having me.
We're good to have you. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's. Hey. Big heads up, man. So just prior to the show firing up, we got to spend some time with the ladies from Silverside. And they were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
So heads up on the website. I'll post it to the Facebook probably this week. But keep an eye on that. Make sure you check it out. Those ladies were great. And hopefully we'll be seeing them come through town here in the next few months.
Yeah, and actually, I think they're coming back in town the 29th of June at the 208. And I think the Ugly Train's going to try to go. The Live from the Path is going to try to set up camp there.
Does that mean Brian's not allowed?
No, sorry, Brian. You're not invited to that one.
We get in people only.
We get in for free based on sympathy. And that's not going to happen if you're with us. So June 29th at the 208. And we'll try to run some of their tunes for bumpers for the show, and so you can kind of get a listen. But we got a pretty sweet acoustic performance, and it's always cool to talk to bands that are out there, touring and playing shows for Christ. It's a different kind of lifestyle, and it's one that I really appreciate that they're doing. And they were super cool and humble to talk to. So we'll hear more from them definitely.
Hey, my eyes are dry, and I'm blinking more than I should. It's not. I'm not on the methamphetamine. Just a heads up, in case you all watch. I just have dry eyes.
I don't. Okay.
I feel like yourself, I just want to straighten that out.
All right.
Is that like an allergy thing?
This is how internet rumors start, Dan. I mean, you just gotta. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Number 46 from Badger.com. Ponder Pascal's wager. Here's the proof. You will frequently hear believers make the following rationalization. Suppose you are right. Suppose there is no God. Then when I die as a believer, I have lost nothing. I just die as a man that devoted his life to love and morals. But if you, as a non-believer, are wrong and I am right, you have to spend an eternity in hell. See? I have nothing to lose, but you have everything to lose. Dan, have you used that before?
I believe I have used that before, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it just seems to make sense.
You're Pascal's wager, Dan.
I guess so.
Okay.
Let's see what he has to say about me.
This is direct.
That's your witnessing tactic? God by default?
Well, no.
I feel like they're missing
something
there. When
all those pills, it's like, wait a minute. Now, I mean, at worst, I was a pretty nice guy, had a pretty good life, and I died and was wrong. Or at worst, I was right, and you spent eternity in hell. That doesn't sound very good.
Do you make that face at the end?
Rock solid. Yeah. What do you think?
I feel like that's the closer.
Are you in?
I think before I knew anything about Christ at all, hardly, I think I would say that.
Yeah?
You know, just as a closet Christian, I suppose.
That's the opener.
I'd be like, well, worst case scenario, I think I'd rather believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you say, look, you've worn that t-shirt. I feel like you've made worse decisions.
But I had no scripture to back that. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This argument is best known as Pascal's
I didn't know
wager.
He had a name.
No. Dan.
I've been calling it the Dan Hudson for years.
This is great. Next time I say, have you heard the Pascal?
Okay. Move on.
Here we go. The problem with this line of reasoning is that there are thousands of gods that humans have imagined. A person who believes in Allah can make this statement, and so can a person who believes in God, and so can a person who believes in Vishnu. This multitude of fictional beings shows the silliness of the argument. There's no way to know which god to choose because there's no evidence whatsoever indicating that any of them exist. The fact is that religion is delusion. All human gods are imaginary. All human gods are imaginary. Something to think about.
I would agree with that statement.
By believing in imaginary God, a believer has not lost nothing. Believers commit themselves to a lifetime of delusion instead of committing their lives to reality. Non-believers, in contrast, live moral and loving lives without having to resort to delusion. Non-believers are normal human beings who embrace reality rather than delusion. As a result, they live much healthier lives. That's that potbelly, Mike.
I knew it. Jesus has cursed me.
Your faith is up your waist size.
I thought it was the ringdings.
Apparently not. That's fried chicken.
The fact that there are so many gods proves that all these gods are imaginary. If there actually were an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God in any form, he would be obvious to everyone, and we would all align on him. His existence would be undeniable and impossible to hide. That's the proof. What are your reactions?
Dan Hudson.
That yeah, as the user of the Dan Hudson, formerly known as Pascal's wager.
Well, I think the sad. I like this guy. I really do. I'd like to just have some coffee with him, except I don't drink coffee. But
I wouldn't open with that.
That'd be a bad way to start. I think his hatred toward God has blinded his logic, even because he starts out like, "Yeah, you heard this argument." I'm like, "Yeah, I've actually used that one. Yeah, it just doesn't work," and that's his logic. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Actually, that wager works with every single one of the gods.
I think that was his point, though, that if it works with every single one of the gods, then it can't work for all of them, right? Like it can't work for the god if it works for all gods.
Well, but see, that's the whole point, is if you try to use it for all the other gods that are false, it didn't work. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You got a pretty circular reasoning going here, Dan.
I think he does.
Anyway.
I live in Johnston. We have these little roundabouts. We do a lot of circular things here.
I read the ESV. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Brian Leach, your thoughts?
He didn't reference any scripture in any of it, which that doesn't surprise me. But what proof do we have outside of scriptures is where I'll generally go, and I'll start walking down the list in my mind. What things in history, and because the atheists sitting across the table in the debate, in the unwinning, never ending debate, will always utilize that scripture to completely derail it,
right?
And say, well, yeah, your book says that, but who says that that's truth?
Yeah, so,
because it's our book that says it's true, you know. To disacknowledge the scripture and the Bible and what it says is the only way to be able to make a statement like that. So, but that particular statement doesn't have any reference to scripture or even any challenging components to scripture. So it's a pretty weak argument, ultimately. It's not even generally a good solid atheist will at least use scripture to make his argument.
Yeah. Right. And they see you silly people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you believe that? Yeah.
Right, right. It'll use a statement or passage in scripture out of context and then change the meaning to that piece of scripture to then support that there isn't a God or something of that nature.
Yeah.
What happens a lot, and that's not even happening there. So there's just little facts or information in there.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's a tidbit, right? Like it's a tidbit. It's a low level swipe at people who aren't invested in the gospel anyway, right? Like if that statement deters you, like it takes a long time to soar all the way through this. Like faith is gathered throughout your lifetime based on the Bible as not only a inspired work of God but historical book that's proven to be what it says it is, you know. And so you could give or take the teachings of Jesus if you want to, as if Jesus is God's son, and it's still a historical book, right? And it's still provable. And what I see is I see from the book of Acts on, I see people dying for what you're purporting to be a lie.
Right.
And so now, granted, you can find that situation in other religions as well, but not so closely tied to the events that went down time frame wise. Like there's a lot. It's got a lot going for it. Right. And you almost have to turn a blind eye on purpose not to consider it.
Well, and he's making it sound like all religions say the same thing. There is no religion like Christianity. There is no religion where the God died and resurrected because he loves us. There's no religion of grace.
You know, right.
Allah is not a religion
earned.
Of grace.
But like
Islam is not grace.
Exactly. The guys that are dying in some of the other religions are dying to earn favor with
exactly,
a God.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the people that are dying in the Bible already have God's favor, and they're dying because of it.
Yeah.
Right? They're dying because God loves them already, and they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
My experience, when that many different religions are referenced in one passage or in one statement and then lumped together as one, is generally a lack of education and lack of knowledge
exactly.
of any
of
religions. So, you know, to this guy's kudos or what likely is taking place here, and I know nothing about this website, I'm like in right now. What likely is taking place is, it's many exposures in his lifetime. He's been exposed to Christians that are just full of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? We think he's been hurt somewhere along the line. You go through all these proofs.
People saying that they believe and then acting in a way that's not congruent to how Christ would have us.
Yeah.
I mean, which, to be fair, we're all guilty of to some point, to some degree.
Sure.
But even with variances of sin in your lifetime, God's love should be showing through you, right? And actually, something I was praying with on the way in today, too, was... sometimes I have a real hard time walking that line, knowing that I'm a sinner and not to live guilty. You know what I'm saying? Because I know Christ died for that. And so, I don't know, sometimes I find that a real hard line, and I find that to be a good perspective to be at, where you're like, God, I don't know how to continue to come back to your grace when I know you're offering it, and I know I don't deserve it. It feels weird, right, to be constantly forgiven and constantly given love and grace when you know that you don't deserve it. And it's an extremely humbling experience, but like, if you even see that struggle, I feel like you're kind of in a good place. You know who you are and who God is, and it just puts you on a nice baseline to be able to explain that to other people, because most people don't get it most of the time because of the fact they don't understand grace like that. I don't forgive people like that. You know, I'll say it all day long, and I still don't forgive them. You know, I mean to. I want to. It's not happening, you know. And so, like, we don't understand grace like that. And so you know, the brass tacks of the Bible is pretty black and white when you get down and read it, but the application of really understanding a God that continues to give you grace like that, I don't know, it just puts you in it's a weird position to be in, to know that you can't run away from somebody's love no matter what you've done, you know.
If you look at it at the base of his argument, has anybody seen I Am Spartacus? Anybody seen the Spartacus movie?
Probably.
Okay, so it's an old,
like the really, really old movie?
Yeah, it's an older movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like these guys are coming after Spartacus, and he's in a group of a bunch of other dudes, okay, and they go, you know, we're after Spartacus, and they want to protect him because he's a hero. And so one guy stands up and goes, I am Spartacus, and then another guy stands up and goes, I am Spartacus, and then like, you know, 200 dudes are standing up raising their hands saying, I am Spartacus.
Yeah, that's like they were going to do like the crucifixion thing or something.
So they were coming after Spartacus, and these guys are basically trying to confuse the whole thing by saying, I am Spartacus. Now look at this guy's proof, right? Just because 200 guys are saying, I am Spartacus, doesn't mean that there is no real Spartacus. So the basis of the proof doesn't make sense. Basically what he's saying is like, how can there be so many people, so many entities that claim to be the God? There must not be a God at all. And that's like saying, just because 200 guys stand up and go, I am Spartacus, that there must not be a real Spartacus in the crowd. That's like the base level of his argument. And it doesn't. And again, use my movie example. Was there a real Spartacus there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. They were just, the other guys were standing up to confuse the fact that there was a real Spartacus there, to throw disorientation that there was a real Spartacus there. And I feel like you're in the same boat here. You have a bunch of other entities, whatever you consider them to be, that are causing confusion as to the fact that there is a real creator of the universe, God, who is the God. And that doesn't make God real because there are imposters or other things that misrepresent themselves as God. And so, like, that's not really a proof that God doesn't exist. It's a proof that there is disorientation. It's a proof that there are false gods. It's a proof that there is confusion. But it's not really, if you look at the brass tacks of it, it's not a proof that there is no God. I am Spartacus. You know what I'm saying?
I'm Spartacus.
That's, yeah.
No, I am. Dan, no one believes you to be Spartacus.
Have you thought about doing the 50 opposite and creating like a web page of the 50 opposite, because you could title that one "I Am Spartacus."
That would be awesome.
I feel like we could have. I don't have a good idea. I was halfway into it and I thought, bail, you don't have anything to say. I'm just used to opening my mouth. Bail.
I see what you did. Brian came up with a good idea and you thought, tag on to that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm like, I'm with crap. I'm a regular here. I'm supposed to have my own thoughts.
God is not imaginary.com. That'd be kind of fun.
So here's what I've seen is a couple of guys, excuse me, that have gone through and tried to and like started refuting these, and they get like eight in and then they give up and then like bail on it.
That's because like he repeats himself so much.
He does do
that.
Oh,
he doesn't like prayer.
He does. Well, I mean, for a nice, it would be odd if you just had a nice round 50 number. He had to stretch just a little bit to get there.
Yeah.
So far we've successfully, at least through the video cast, we've worked on 1 through 46.
Yeah. God has won them all. He's got three more to try to redeem himself, but I feel like the God of the Bible is really, he's whooping this thing.
Yeah, so the premise of this discussion was a little bit better than some.
Yeah.
I think there's more meat to talk through, but ultimately, get rid of the fact as to whether I love God or not. The base logic isn't good, because just because 10 things are false, it doesn't mean all of them are false. One of them can still be true.
Yeah.
It's not really a proof that God's a manager. So anyway, that was proof number 46. Next week, I'll give you the opening salvo on proof number 47, which is contemplate creation. Here he goes. Many Christians look at our universe and especially life on planet Earth and come to the conclusion that what we see is irreducible complexity. In the Christian view, the complexity of our universe and life on Earth requires an intelligent creator to bring everything into existence. A Christian might say, Dan, this is you again. Here you go. Look at how amazing and complex life is.
I think I've said that.
Look at how intricate the human eye is and the human brain.
I've said that too.
There is no way that the human eye and the human brain arose spontaneously from the mud.
Preach it.
In the same way that a watch cannot appear without a watchmaker, there's no way that all this complexity arose without an intelligent creator. So we have a question that demands an answer. Did the complexity of life arise spontaneously, or did it require a creator? That's the opening salvo for next week, number 47.
It's about time.
I think you answer that one with string theory and M theory. But anyway.
Yeah.
For next week.
Brian, you're going to need to come back in. We don't talk like that around here.
Those are big words
for
us.
We just make accusatory statements like, whatever, God's real. You know that.
God doesn't know what he's talking about.
Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
That's all you need to know.
Marcus.
All right, that's number 47. Hey, if you want to go back and look at the other 46, I would encourage you to do so just to see what may be legitimate barriers for folks. You can go to lifefromthepath.org. You can see how we answered it. But above all else, check your Bible. Read through it and see what the actual inspired word of God gives you on how to handle some of these things. And I would encourage you to do that, and we'll catch up with him next week. And like I said, we've only got three more. I don't know what we're going to do.
No, frankly, the show is going to take a serious tanker.
We've been really leaning on this guy.
I know. We have no fodder for information at all.
We'll have to start using our own minds here.
That's terrible. All right. Anyway, you're listening to Live from the Path. We are on every Monday night at 10 o'clock here at livefromthepath.org with the live stream. You can also catch the show on Saturdays at 7 p.m. on 99.3 KTIA. And here's the thing. We got a lot of cool sponsors that help us to stay on what I like to call legitimate radio. And make sure you check them out. You got Valley Services for all your residential and commercial cleaning needs. On-purpose promotions. We do T-shirt printing through them. We do some of our – we did some stocking hats.
Yeah.
They're doing some mugs for us.
The stocking hats aren't as useful year-round as I was hoping.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a bad investment on our part.
Yeah, that's not his
fault.
Not
his. Really. I mean, they were cool-looking, but we bought the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you go to onpurposepromos.com and check him out. Also, Capanna's Coffee and Gelato. It's time to switch over. If you're a gelato person and you've been waiting for the weather to turn, now's the time.
Yeah.
So go to Capanna's. It's on Lincoln Way in Ames, and you can order some sweet, tasty gelato. I still drink the hot coffee.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a mocha man.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm tempted to... Me and Boova are going to go check out that gelato, but I can't get him to pay for the gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might drive up there by myself. I feel like I can tag team with Boova, and he'll cover the gas for me, and we're going to go up and get some.
It's not happening, huh?
Do you want to go?
If Boova's paying for the gas?
Yeah, then. Boova's paying for the gas. Okay, He's not here.
I'm definitely in. and also the Eisenhower team. See, you know, every once in a while people come on the radio and say, hey, now's the time to buy a house. But I feel like the time to buy a house is when you want to move.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're looking to move and find a house or you want to sell yours, call the Eisenhower team. Mike's had dealings with them. I talked to him when I was looking to sell my house. Bob and Bill Eisenhower are awesome.
Yeah, they're cool. They're honest. They're straightforward. If it's not going well, they'll say it's not going well. If it's going great, they'll say it's going great. They sent me a gift basket. They sent me a faux speeding ticket this year.
That was
like
pretty funny.
Like I got caught by a moving camera. And I thought it was true, right? I'm like, man, how did they catch me? You know, and it was from him. It was from Bob. I thought Eisenhower.
Like a picture of your car.
It's not very often that you. I mean, like, he sold my house 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I'm still getting stuff from him. Like we're buddies. He's been on the show a couple times. I just love those guys. They invite us to their Easter egg hunt every year. I mean, they're easy to get along with. You know, they're the kind of people you want to do business with. So, like, here's the deal. If your house is dirty, you know, you call Valley Services, clean it up. If you need to sell a place, Bob Eisenhower is the guy to need to talk to. If you're having any type of heating or cooling issues, Brian Leach is who you need to talk to. Brian, where do you come from?
Whoa. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Where do you work at? What do you do for a living?
Oh, we're service legends.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, heating and cooling.
See, I'm the setup man.
Look at that. I was going deep theology. Yeah. I'm like, where do I come from?
Where do you come from?
Well, it starts from my mother. Yeah. Then it goes all the way back to Genesis.
I feel like your mom and dad should have had a talk with you. Here's how it happens.
Here's come aside, bird. Young man.
So Brian has graciously agreed to come on the show as one of our Jesus support points. He's also the head honcho at Service Legends, who I've actually used recently, as in today. They're helping me with my heating and cooling needs. And here's the deal. It was quick. It was easy. It was, hello, I need this. They said, no problem, we're on it. And it was pretty awesome. I felt like they put in some extra effort, even knowing me very little. And so it was well appreciated. So if they need to get a hold of you guys, how do they do that?
515-COMFORT or on the web at servicelegends.net.
That's where that went. I tried to get 515 Comfort for my telephone number.
That's not what I got.
And it was not available.
Yep.
Brian snagged it.
I got
it was taken.
Ooh.
It was.
You muscled?
I called the person and I was like, hey, this is going to be the strangest phone call you've had in at least a year.
Did you?
I want to buy your phone number. She said, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm Brian with Service Legends, and I don't know if you know it or not, but your phone number spells Comfort, and it would be really handy for me.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, my furnace was installed really bad. If you come fix it, I'll give it to you.
Whoa.
And I said, okay. So
I felt like she really had the upper hand on you and gave it away easy.
Well, I was prepared.
That was not.
I gave her everything she had and then some, so.
I'm looking for Spartacus. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, that is.
Man, I wish I had some shoddily work done so I can deal with people with phone numbers. No one ever wants my phone number. It's like 515 Stinkface or something. I tried to make something out of it one time and it didn't come out to be anything. I was very disappointed.
Fortunately, we had Path was available for Pathway.
Yeah.
276 Path.
Awesome.
These are not as good as stories as Brian's, but...
Yeah, but, man, but here's the deal, though, is in the modern era, it doesn't work. I tell people the you know, our number, and they're like, no, my phone has the digits. Maybe they're getting back to digits. The smaller cell phones don't have the letters.
Correct.
You know, like your home phone does.
Yeah.
But now this phone does.
Huh.
So never mind. It works again. Go carry on.
So...
515 Comfort.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, 515 Comfort. Yeah, seriously, super easy to get along with. Brian's been really cool to us. So if you have any heating or cooling needs, that's definitely where you want to be. Or if you want to, you know, buy phone numbers, he's done it before. So you call him and figure out how it's done.
Yeah.
Feel like he's experienced in this thing.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
Stumbled upon America's fastest growing internet game show. That's not provable, by the way.
Absolutely not.
I don't think anybody tracks internet game show.
No. And
so I'm saying that with like an asterisk.
Here's the deal. If you're watching on the streaming on livefromthepath.org from 10 to 11 on Monday nights, the graphic you just saw is a accurate representation of the quality of the show. That's what you can expect for the rest of the hour. Just live with it. If you didn't see it on the podcast, you can up your bar a little bit. Things are still looking pretty solid.
Yeah,
so
yeah. No doubt.
All be right, prepared.
So here's the basic rules of the game. Secular versus Solomon is designed to figure out whether we can tell the difference between godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, or secular wisdom, things that come from the world. Okay? So I will give you a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me if this proverb is secular or Solomon. If you believe it is a secular proverb, then you need to tell me the country of origination. Unless it's a people group, and I'll tell you if it's a people's.
Just for a heads up, Dan is notoriously terrible at this game. So if you're going to bandwagon, I suggest not using Pastor Dan.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. That hurts me.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Can we use theme parks now, though?
I'm going to flip my hat around over the top style, and I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Number one. When the heart is full, the tongue will speak. When the heart is full, the tongue will speak. Secular or Solomon? Mike?
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon. Brian Leach?
I'm going to go secular.
And country of origin?
Afghanistan.
Dan Hudson.
Bold move, Mr. Leach.
That has Canada written all over it. I'm going secular.
Secular Canada.
They do a lot of heart stuff up there.
No doubt. When the heart is full, the tongue will speak. Secular Scotland.
Dang it.
Scotland. That's
fail.
A fail. That's a half a point. That's a half a point. You got to keep track of your own points.
I'm
only giving you an idea of what the scoring system is about. I'm not keeping track. Here we go. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites the beating.
Dubbeating?
Crap. No, wait a minute.
I'm listening.
It's not NSC.
Hold on. Let me read this differently.
Harlem?
A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Secular or Solomon, Brian Leach?
That was secular.
Secular. Dan,
country of origin?
Yep.
U.S.
United States. Dan Hudson.
Now, did you alter that, the second reading?
No, that's the appropriate reading. The second one is the appropriate reading.
Okay. I'm gonna go Solomon.
Solomon, Mike.
Secular, Tunisia.
What?
Is that an option?
Secular Tunisia?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's a country, isn't it?
Here we go. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Solomon, Proverbs 18:6. Here's the problem. I copied from the online, and the D was the footnote indicator. So it looked like dub eating. My bad.
Turns out Solomon is hardcore. That Harlem Shake reference that we made a couple weeks ago was right on.
All right, here we go. Secular Solomon. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, secular, or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
Solomon.
Solomon, Mike.
That's the most Solomonist thing I'd ever heard, Ben.
What about that says Solomon to you?
It's the apples of gold.
The setting of silver.
And because of my stealthy Bible reading.
Fair enough. Brian Leach.
It's Solomon.
Solomon. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Solomon, Proverbs 25:11.
What does that mean? I don't get it. Does gold stand out? Is that what he's saying?
I don't get it either. It sounds like King James.
It's precious.
Yeah, it does.
It's ESV. Apples of gold in a set. Okay, so I mean, gold apples on a silver setting. Rich, delicious, pleasant. A word aptly spoken.
Have you written your own commentary?
Valuable.
I've started it.
What's the reference? Proverbs
25:11.
Dan,
put that Bible software away, Hudson.
We're playing secular psalm, and you can't be looking at the Bible.
You wanted to know the meaning.
You're going to have to look it up later. Put that away. Unbelievable.
He's made no swipes since you rebuked him. No swipes at all.
Fierce grace, donkey's tricky, dirty faith. Thanks.
I'm Spartacus.
I'll tell you what, I'm Spartacus.
Here we go. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
That's going to be secular Uganda.
Secular Uganda. Brian Leach?
Secular in a country?
Yes.
I don't know.
You can't bow out, Brian. It's Brian's part of the game.
Somewhere in Africa.
He's going with Egypt. Dan Hudson.
That's the worst guess ever.
You know, I'm sticking with my Solomon.
Solomon. Chat. They're behind. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Solomon. Proverbs 25:25.
Wow.
Remember when I said don't bandwagon with Hudson? That was a mistake. He's like 3-0 for Hudson today.
The Egyptians love cold water.
Here's the deal. He's usually so bad at this game. I can play. The comedy will play through the rest of the show. I have no material if this continues to go the way it is. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. All right, here we go. Next, little by little, the camel goes into the couscous. Little by little, the camel goes into the couscous. Secular or Solomon, Brian?
That's fitly spoken, Leech.
Like apples on a
secular
platter.
From the movie Borat.
I'm going to accept it. Top's half a point. Dan Hudson.
Yeah, I'm going to go with secular as well. And, what do they have? Camels.
Everybody's in with Egypt on the couscous case.
It has to be. It wasn't Borat, like Kakistan or something like that. I'll go with.
Tajikistan.
What?
I think it's Tajikistan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
Kazakhstan.
Whatever, wherever.
Mike.
Some stand over there.
I'm also going to go with secular, and I will pick Lithuania.
Hold on. How old is couscous? I mean, that's a biblical food, isn't it?
Is that something you put like a pop in?
What?
Keeps it cold?
That's a koozie.
Okay,
hold on. Get with the times, Dan.
It's a traditional
Berber
dish, drum wheat history. Hold on. 13th century. No. Okay.
13th century what, Ben? Where's it found?
North African.
Yeah, I should have said Ethiopia.
Here we go. Little by little, little by little, the camel goes into the couscous. Secular, Morocco.
Oh,
Morocco.
That's right next to Uganda.
No.
They're considered a singular country in that area. It's only the United States that split them apart.
If we're going by proximity, then every time Dan answers, I'm putting it on you.
That's not fair.
Well, then you don't get Uganda.
I withdraw.
Here we go. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears, secular or Solomon. Dan.
I'm going secular, and I'm going to say that's Japanese.
I'm going to ignore the inference of the Japanese guest, Mike.
I'm going secular and Vietnam.
Secular Viet... Brian?
Secular India.
Redemption. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Solomon, Proverbs 26:17. Solomon cleared the room with your slightly offensive references.
I'm not sure. What is offensive? I plead ignorant.
I feel like that's a fail. Across the board fail.
We're going to get chucked off. What,
was it
a,
Obviously it was.
Was it Ecclesiastes?
No, Proverbs 26:17. What are you insinuating? It was the Ecclesiastes when he was in his wind wispy phase about to say other things.
I would have known the difference if it was in. I have studied Ecclesiastes.
That was after he tested all the wine and all the stuff.
Oh, do Ecclesiastes.
Here's
vanity,
another thing. You get that dog out of here.
All right. So far, the room needs to review, say, the latter half of Proverbs. Here we go. Next, a kiss. They're still guessing. A kiss without a beard is like an egg without salt. A kiss without a beard is like an egg without salt.
I'm getting a poster made of that. You call Jared at On Purpose Promotions. I'm getting a poster out of that, actually.
Secular or Solomon? Dan.
That is a secular Russian.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mike?
Is Russia still considered a country?
Some of it's still Russia.
Yeah, Russia's still Russia.
Yeah.
Before it was a union.
Listen, if you guys want to make fun of me like this, you can at least, you know... I'm going to say secular. I'm going to say secular and Namibia.
I thought you were going for giving us material now that he's getting them all right.
Yeah, that's all I got. Somebody's got to play the dunce around here. It's going to be me. I see that's how it's going to go.
Kiss without a beard is like an egg without salt. Brian?
It'd be German.
Secular German.
Yes.
And there was the women with the beards.
Yes. A kiss without a beard is like an egg without salt. Secular Dutch. It's from the Dutch.
Namibia was an excellent guess.
They don't do beards in Namibia.
Yeah.
Unless you're the chieftain.
Could be.
Here we go. What is brought by the wind will be carried away by the wind. What is brought by the wind will be carried away by the wind, secular or Solomon. Mike.
This has all the overtones of Solomon. Feel like it's a trap. Solomon.
Solomon. Brian Leach.
Solomon.
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That's a Mexican proverb.
It's Mexico.
They do a lot of windies.
I'm only slightly embarrassed. I feel like this...
It's a good thing the World Wide Web is not a literal interpretation of who's watching the show.
Yeah. What is brought by the wind will be carried by the wind. Secular Iran.
Dang it.
Iran. Now, hey. So here, I was looking through the Proverbs, right? And one of the Iranian Proverbs I thought was a dead giveaway. It was like... the guy who doesn't beat his kid is not a good father. it was fairly blatant. And I thought, that smells of Iran.
Exactly.
They're going to get that one.
That's straightforward.
Here we go. Final one. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. Secular or Solomon? Brian?
Well, I got to go secular. I cannot imagine the word joking being anywhere in Scripture.
Secular.
Well, wherever Borat's from.
Sticking with it.
A lot of wisdom comes from this.
This is definitely showing up. Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon.
Solomon. Mike.
Secular Belize.
Secular Belize. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. Solomon, Proverbs 26:18-19.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. What version?
It's ESV.
Oh, my goodness.
Stick with ESV.
Because I always have them all in my head in NIV.
Yeah.
And I switched to ESV like a year or two ago.
ESV. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Huh. Well, it's in the NIV, too, though.
The game's over. Look it up. Look it up. I'll fire up a dear line from the past.
What's the reference again?
It's Proverbs 26:18-19.
And now, I'm going to play this for America's fastest growing game show.
You've just enjoyed America's fastest growing game
show. Or Solomon.
Smooth.
It didn't go well.
No, it didn't.
It was a rough game.
Yeah, it was.
I think I did quite well, thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, Dan didn't do too bad.
No, actually, he actually did really good.
After being lost like one.
Yeah.
That's just what we need, is a vindicated Dan Hudson.
There's nothing worse.
Top of the world.
There's no one worse to deal with. Where's that in Ecclesiastes?
I am Spartacus.
I am Danicus.
All right, here we go.
Secular versus Solomon is brought to you by Capanna's Coffee and Gelato. They brought on the embarrassment for us today.
Yeah, they did. There's nothing that goes better with Crow than a cold gelato. Brought to you by Capanna's. Here we go. Didn't you have a question? You had a question.
Let's ask that real quick. So okay. The question is with family, So I mean, ooh, obviously, you want to be able to share your faith with people, and especially if you have a heart for your family, right? But what if you have a family member that's just simply not receptive? What's the play? Is there a point where you say this is a prayer only mission?
Yeah,
I pray and let it drop. Do you try to toss stuff in every once in a while? What's the general thought? I mean, they're vehemently opposed to listening to your business about Jesus.
I think for Christmas you buy them Jesus T-shirts and you buy them Bibles, and
so there's the Dan I know and love.
What point of reference, from a leadership level or from a scriptural level? Where would you want to draw from on this one?
Scripture seems always safe to me. Seems like a safe reference.
Or the best route, right? What's the best one?
Well, the best one is the one that I'm more familiar with. Which would be the leadership.
Hi, I'd like to buy your Christianity.
Scripturally, what did Christ do when he returned to Nazareth? And what are the events that took place when he went to bring the word of God?
So a prophet is not welcome in his hometown.
Sure. So that's where my mind immediately went when you made the statement.
Didn't he kill a tree on the way out?
From an experience standpoint, and I don't know where the scripture side of it is, but from an experience standpoint, the people that we love the most are the ones that we chase the most in this, especially when we know what we know after our soul is saved. So all the leadership teachings that I've been exposed to by some fairly faithful authors, I would think, would say that to get someone to come to your line of thinking, you must seek to understand them first. And if you want to influence someone, you must circle your sphere of influence. You must be someone worthy of influence. So really, people change when they hit challenge, when they're outside of their comfort zone enough, when they're feeling enough pain is when they want to change. And sometimes when we're witnessing to our family, they're not in enough pain to change yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe God's time is not ready for that. So we see that as failure on our end, and I think we just continue to persist with love and show who Christ is through our actions.
Yeah, live out authentic faith, and
right,
they'll see that.
You know, if you're walking the path of God, you in Christ's will, and all, you know, the blessings. I would think, I mean, well, I don't know, but challenges are going to be more abundant too. Scripture tells us. Mm-hmm. That the closer we come to Christ, the more we'll have challenges, the more we'll be faced with adversity and attacks from the devil. But I also think when that adversity is overcome, the blessings come pouring in heavily. And so my thoughts would be, as I continue to receive those blessings, showering my family with love, hopefully there comes a point in their life when they're ready for that message, or they ask.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same answer is probably true with your family as it is with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a seed planter and you're an example of, you know, the change that Christ brings about. And at some point, they are going to get to a point and they're going to think, why was that guy different? There was something different about that guy, right? Like, you know, when these things were going down, he walked away, or, you know, like he always spoke lovingly of his wife and lovingly of the responsibility that he takes for his kids. And, you know, he had some integrity when he did his work and there was just something different about him. And, you know, there just comes to a point sometimes where they want to know what the difference is. And, you know, you're the trampoline, not the guy on the fire ladder climbing up to get him. You know, you're there when they need you, you know, to be there. And I think Brian's right. That's hard when it's your family. It's hard because you want it more than they want it. You know, happens a lot, you know, when we're, you know, when you're called to go out and make disciples, you're ready for it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, this is what I want. And then, you know, sometimes you stick your foot in your mouth because you tried to pry an opportunity that cost you time instead of making you time, you know.
And cost you that influence to what Brian was saying. I mean, like, you can't, that type of influence isn't something that you can force. I mean, that's an earned thing. That's a gained thing to be able to have the influence and be privy to and part of. Some of those types of conversations with people, sometimes it's patience to be able to wait that out. You can't just kind of bully in there. That's why, I mean, you know, sometimes like the guy in the soapbox, he'll turn or burn. I mean, he's not earned any influence.
No, true. He's part of the environment, you know?
I have a pretty competitive spirit, and every once in a while there'll be somebody that just feel like now's the right time, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to put one in a bucket list, another one off the cabin. You know, wow, yeah, bam. You know, there's a tally mark for me, not God. And that's the issue.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it's about me, and it's about, man, I'm going to knock another one down. We're going to take them to Take him to just carry him there on my back instead of letting God bring him up, you know?
You got another one, Brian? Sure do. Yeah. Tell Saul I'm going to bring the carriage around. I'm ready.
I'm using that stairwell Jacob talked about.
I like what you said about seed plants, though, because I mean, I was a heathen for a long time, so if I think back and all of that time and all the seed plants that were made, and I didn't know what the heck those seed plants were
right.
at the time, but now... 5 years now of surrendering my life to Christ, I look backwards. I remember those seed plants and how they guided me. I can see the pattern all the way back for 12, 15 years of just utter heathenism.
Yeah. I haven't been on this side of the boat very long, you know, where like, but I, you know, I started helping out with the youth group, you know, and like, It's hard being on that side and waiting people out. You know what I'm saying? Because you just want to see the influence of Jesus Christ in them so bad. You just want to see it. And sometimes I've had it before where it's clouded my judgment. You know what I'm saying? I push a little harder than I should. You know, and God's helped me to recognize that because it, usually the times that I did it is the times that I said, I know where you're going with this, God. Old Michael got this train. You know, I'm fine. And sometimes it's hard to reckon, but I feel like if you, you double down on prayer and you double down on scripture, you know, God will correct it. And, you know, you can't ruin anything that he wants to get done.
You've been listening to Live from the Path. We're broadcasting here every Monday night from livefromthepath.org from 10 to 11 and Saturdays at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Here's the deal. If you're hanging online or on the podcast, we're going to keep the show rolling for just a little bit longer. We got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. If you're on KTIA, we love you, but we got to let you go. We only pay so many bills at the station, and they eventually kick us off, and they got other guys that pay. So we're going to let you go. We will run into you. If you want to catch a live show, you can do so next Monday on livefromthepath.org, or check out the website during the week. You can have clips from past shows, including past Secular versus Solomon's, clips from the bands. We're going to have those clips from Silverside out probably this week. And you can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We'd love to keep in contact with you there. Thank you guys for listening to Live from the Path. All right, we're good.
Dear Live from the Path, my granddaughter and her boyfriend live in another state. I love hearing from her. However, when I call, she always puts me on the speakerphone, which I find rude. I have never met her boyfriend, and I don't feel he should be in on everything I may talk about to my granddaughter. I think she's forming a bad habit. Am I wrong for feeling this way?
I don't think anybody likes...
Speakerphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just awkward because you don't know who's there and who...
It's like talking to the McDonald's drive-thru window. You should try a new blah, 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 blah. You don't tell me what to do. Exactly. Let me talk to a person, the one guy at least.
I always wait till I hear a human. I don't go too often to like a drive-thru, but every once in a while I do. I'm just like, I'm gonna wait it out.
You almost have to, because if you start talking after the machine stops talking, they're like, hold on.
Wait a minute. Here I am.
Medium? Did you say Diet Coke? No. Sun-kissed, please. And so, you got to wait till you get the guy.
Yeah, I just wait there.
You got to get the guy. Anyway, no one likes speakerphone.
No, I mean, it's not ruining her
life.
Who
even has a speakerphone anymore? They don't have a cell phone? Call them on the cell phone.
Well, maybe she's putting the speakerphone on the cell phone. It's ill-advised. I would say, so let me ask you this. What do you say? What do you say to her?
Am I on speakerphone?
Yeah, you're on speakerphone.
That's what she says. She says, am I on speakerphone?
And I would say, yeah, you're on speakerphone.
I don't want to be on speakerphone.
Well, sorry, Grandma. It's me and my boyfriend want to hear what you're saying.
I don't want to. Well, maybe you should see if they'll come down and visit. You get to know the man.
I wonder if she, I mean, I feel like maybe that she just doesn't realize that she's got poor etiquette and you should just bring it up. Say, hey, it weirds me out. I mean, you don't have to say it rudely, right? Just say, hey, man, it kind of weirds me out feeling like I'm talking to the whole room. Can you take me off speakerphone?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a pretty hardcore dude says, I refuse.
Stop talking. I mean, so somebody, I'll be like, am I on speakerphone? Yeah. Oh. And I'm done.
Let me know what I'm childish, on. Brian. It's kind of like 10-year-old
well,
what you're
no,
doing
no,
there.
It's just, I mean, it's not like I'm demanding anything, but then pretty soon they'll be like, would you like me to take it off? Yeah, that'd be great. And then we just start talking.
It's played out very well in the example you've given. Yeah.
I don't know if you caught it, but Brian sold it with the sweet eyebrow raise. He's like, I feel like that's it.
Done and done. Just like Pascal's wager. Solved. Next question, please. okay, Secular's advice was, the question was, am I wrong for feeling this way? Secular says, I don't think so. Not every word that comes out of your mouth should be community property. The next time it happens, all you have to do is say, honey, take me off the speaker, please. That sounds like it. A grandma would say it.
Honey.
It's not how Brian went. Brian did it. He did the armful and said,
speak.
Oh, speakerphone, eh?
Well,
we're done.
Waiting it out.
Waiting for it.
Now I'm petting the cat. Not talking to you.
Cricket
catching my drift. You spoiled brat. No one talks to grandma this way.
Who does that, though? Like, is that an indication of a character flaw somewhere else? Because, like, that's a weird behavior.
Maybe they work in an office with a bunch of stuff going on, and they like to conference people. Maybe they got a fancy phone at work. They do it all the time. I see people do that.
Well, wasn't it so
the boyfriend
could?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't so he could hear. But the grandma's picturing the boyfriend, like, leaning in, digging the whole conversation. He's probably watching reruns of Who's the Boss, paying no attention at all. The grandma's just seeing it from her side. She thinks people are trying to
I do wonder what she's saying about the boyfriend that she doesn't want the boyfriend to hear.
Yeah, maybe
or
she
what she does want to say.
Yeah, she wants to gossip about the man.
Is she living with him?
Yes.
Well, he probably wouldn't want to hear what I got to say either.
You know what? Put him on speaker. Here we go, you irresponsible doofus. If you have a job and a love, then you should have a wife. Put the ring on it. Ready? Here we go.
I think that reminds me of a song.
Beyonce, 2009.
Yeah.
Thank you. Quoted. Here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I'm a 60-year-old woman with grown children. My husband and I divorced after 30 years of marriage because he met someone at work.
Ooh.
It was a quick process, and because I was in shock, I agreed to the terms of divorce even though they weren't in my favor. 2 years ago, I met a very nice man who treats me with respect and love.
Oh, man.
He wants a future for us, and so do I, but I can't get over one thing. He has two illegitimate children, one he didn't even know about, and although the son is an adult, he is still paying back support.
Ooh.
I hate to sound like a snob, but this situation isn't okay with me. I'm afraid I'll always bring it up when I'm angry. I'm thinking maybe if we wait until the support obligation is ended, I might feel different. But who knows? I'd appreciate some advice.
Okay. Is she a cougar?
Quick. Dan, do you know the definition of... Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What is it?
An older woman with a younger guy.
He's 60.
Dan's been on a cruise
She's
before.
60. He's got supportive children he's supporting.
It's an adult child, though. I think there's something wrong with him.
Oh, I missed something there then.
Yeah, I said it's supporting.
Why do you go immediately?
You have very
good
listening skills.
Why do you go immediately to cougar?
Well, can you read 60? It four more times?
I can't imagine a guy who's 60 supporting his child.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's.
Hey, maybe it's the guy from the previous question.
Now hold on.
He's living with his girlfriend. He didn't need a job.
I have a point of order.
Okay.
She opened with some kind of story about how her ex-husband rifed her in the divorce and then told a completely different story, like a different advice question. Like, she just wanted to bring that up. There was no reason for that.
No, that's true.
I think she's got some bitterness.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Men are jerks.
Question answered.
I mean, it tells me something about her that she would bring that up and it has nothing to do with her question.
Yeah.
Hi, my husband. I mean, I get it that I suppose you could say, unless she's self-diagnosing as a mistrust issue, I mistrust men. But the guy's got two illegitimate kids. I feel like you don't need more ammo.
No.
It could be a legitimate problem with trust with him.
Illegitimate special needs kids?
I think one of them.
It doesn't say that.
That's my guess.
Ben's
making that up.
He's reading into it.
You
called the 60-year-old woman a cougar, Dan. I feel like that you guys are playing the same ball here.
They were born 40 years ago.
I think she has answered her own question.
Yeah.
In her state.
Dan. Yeah. Brian Tillmore would have.
I think we could make a lot of assumptions here, but she obviously knows it's a concern or an issue because she's prequeling it with, here's what happened to me before, and here's my red alert. Well, follow your instinct would be my advice, you know? Stay with your instinct on it. If it doesn't feel right, don't go there.
Yeah, usually if you have to go to multiple sources, especially unknown sources like the newspaper lady, to try to back up a decision you're making, it generally smells like a bad idea. Maybe it's not the best.
Yeah.
Although, now to be fair, these qualification of things that have happened in your past do not disqualify you as being a decent person in the future. But they are a good indication of behavior and not to be discounted. You know what I'm saying? They're not to be completely ignored.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say she presented all the same things and then said, 2 years ago, he found Jesus. Does that change your answer?
Which one?
So my thought was, what's preventing her from taking him and going and having a conversation with their pastor in regards to this topic?
As a team.
And if that's not an option, well, then I think the answer is
your advice is that we can't help you. You need to go seek more advice. from someone else.
Oh, no. I mean, we got a pastor right here, but I think it's...
You heard his answers.
How much time do we got?
He's no good.
I mean, you would want to ask more questions, right?
Oh, absolutely.
To understand further.
I want more information.
Yeah.
Secular says. I know very few people over 35 who don't carry some kind of baggage from past experiences. You don't have to approve of everything in his suitcase, but if you plan on having a long-term relationship with this very nice man, you will have to accept that he is fulfilling his legal obligation. Dragging the past into the present during an argument is an unhealthy expression of anger. It's guaranteed to drive a partner away. Till you can find a more constructive way to work out your disagreements, you shouldn't marry anybody. I don't disagree with secular.
Get healthy.
Yeah, that seems all right. All right, you got time for one more, Ben?
Sorry, the chat is harassing me because I assumed the kid was special needs.
I thought it seemed like a legitimate answer.
It's not that bad.
It's not an insult. It's just what I thought the circumstances were.
Dear Life from the Path, my husband and I are in our 30s and have been married for 15 years.
Wait, 30s? They were 15 when they got married?
In the 30s.
In 30s.
Yeah.
So maybe, okay.
They might be a little self-conscious.
Could be 20. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I was 21.
He's like, oh, that's wrong.
No, you're out. Sorry.
Over the past year, we have been... Oh, man. I should have read this ahead of time. Over the past year, we have been intimate only about once every 3 months. I tried to spice things up to see if I could get him interested, but he reacted by becoming upset, defensive, and insinuating that I have an unnatural fixation on sex. After some discussion, it turns out he's having erectile dysfunction problems. I really got to screen these. I was relieved to know that it wasn't a lack of interest, but now I'm even more confused by his unwillingness to see a doctor. It's been a couple of months since he confided this problem to me. He's done nothing about it. I offered to go to the doctor with him. I have joint therapy. I've even tried a little extra stuff. Edited. He still refuses to see a doctor or go to a therapy. I'm completely stumped and unsure what else to do. Any advice will be truly appreciated. Walk a thin line, fellas. What do you do? What's your advice?
Does he have any friends?
Not if they find out about this. I'm just kidding.
I mean, there's probably wisdom in other guys handling the situation.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I agree with that.
Like he's probably. I get it, he's embarrassed. It's a bit childish to not do anything about it. But like, I don't know. I feel like if you had some close friends that you were willing to confide into. They can probably help you out. Get through
like
this thing.
A doctor? I mean, is there a medical
issue? Are you saying, okay, so let's say that was me. My buddy comes to me and says, hey, your wife told me you got some problems.
I saw this commercial.
No. I would say.
Actually, yeah.
I saw this commercial with a guy with this really cool car.
I saw it on the prayer request bulletin card. You were having issues.
No. I would. If I were the wife, I would say, I would. I guess I would recommend that he talk to his friends. I would find a way to say that. Like, have you.
I would recommend they talk to a doctor.
I get it's going to be awkward, right? But like,
if you're in your 30s.
He won't go.
He won't. Yeah, he won't go.
He said he won't go.
I mean,
this is from the wife's perspective.
There's something deeper here, too. If it took her this long to figure out and they're married, things aren't adding up for me.
You're right. It is going to go deeper because we're talking about a basic communication thing here. What, you know, what's your intent? You know, there is a lack of confidence. In the man, or you know, appears to be, or a lack of love towards her. There's something going on there that's at a deeper level that needs to be explored. It's not just a matter of I'm not very sexually active and I don't appreciate your approach to the situation. It goes deeper than that. There's a deeper root.
Yeah, I would assume you'd be talking about that stuff long before every 3 months. Once every 3 months. Well, yeah, I mean,
maybe
I would
not.
Think. I mean. Just making an assumption.
Sounds like you've had an experience.
No, I'm just saying that seems like a long time.
Here's the thing. I feel like he has... I think he's got some other stuff going on. Like, I call this a spade a spade. Like, I feel like he has some other stuff going on. He does not want to be honest with his wife about it. And I think he's defaulting.
There's some intimacy problems right there.
Yeah.
That's the person... That's the first person he needs to be talking to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one other person
if it
in
was
the world...
The reason he doesn't want to go to a doctor is because it's not a legitimate issue. That's
potentially or Satan's at work and has layered on some heavy shame in the situation with him.
That's where I would tend to gravitate. Now, obviously, I mean, there's a lot more questions need to be asked here, but like, I mean, most of our culture tends to head to pills directly when really I feel like he might have some there's some psychological things going on here, whether it has is tied to shame of something that he's done or has not done. And I mean, there's some legitimate talking, because if it was the deal, he'd just go to the doctor. It'd be done.
Like maybe he's having an affair. Maybe he's got a porn issue. Maybe, I mean, you know.
Yes. That's
likely.
That's what would be my guess. Because seriously, I mean, that stuff's embarrassing.
If it was
a
completely
right?
healthy relationship, all that aside, and the only thing was a sexual dysfunction, there would be dialogue and conversation
yeah.
about it.
Oh, yeah. You'd both be going to the doctor holding hands.
Yeah.
Right.
Because good things happen after the doctor visit. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no downside to going. Yeah. So it's just a little fishy. Like, the way dudes work, it's just a little fishy. Let's see what her answer. Secular answers. You have done everything you can do. Your husband may be embarrassed or afraid, which is why he's avoiding going to a doctor. Be supportive, but you need to ask him what he plans to do about this, if anything. Make sure you put your hands on your hips, because the absence of physical affection is unfair to you. I don't know if I'd start with that. But it's true. It is
yeah.
unfair.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd go with this is unfair to me. You might want to start a little more supportive and work your way up to it. just a thought.
That's interesting.
All right. You've been listening to Live from the Path. We do appreciate you hanging out. If you're listening, that means you're either on the live show or you're hanging out at the podcast. We appreciate you doing so. Tell your friends that you love the Life from the Path podcast. It's your guilty pleasure on a Monday night, 11 p.m. Thank you to Brian Leach for coming by. Is it servicelegends.net? Yeah. You can check Brian out online.
Or if you still rock the phone, the comfort's in it. 515 comfort.
Heck yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to call right now. Is there someone available?
Yeah, 24 hours.
Ah, that's awesome. Do they just need someone to talk to? They get bored, or is it like...
Well, no, they'll
have a problem with my wife.
They get paid for every phone call, so...
Can we ask them advice questions?
Can I put you on speakerphone?
Okay, please don't do that.
Sorry.
Or his people.
That was inappropriate.
Well, if Janice is on call, she'd be good with it.
Okay. Hey, you know what? It says comfort. It's not real specific on what kind of comfort is offered. So give them a call either way. They seem like they might love you.
I can assure you they get at least one or two calls a day. Oh, back rub would be good. Well, how about your furnace?
Yeah, that's not funny. Did you tell them that's not funny? When people call and say that? Like, do you
I'll
have
quit.
To?
Well, we're asking for it a little bit because we answer the phone. It's a great day at your service company. How can we make you smile?
Right.
Or how can we make you comfortable?
Ooh, yeah.
So, that is asking for it.
Yeah, we are kind of asking for it.
So the funny man get on the phone with his clown humor and says, blah, 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 back rub. My wife thinks I'm funny. Yeah, good thing there's one of them, dude. Your furnace better be broken. Can I work at your place? Maybe not.
All right, you're listening live from the path. Go to bed.